Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52. This is the reading of God's word. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. After bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped. And they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Father, we pray that you would bless the preaching of your word. Oh, Father, how we are hungry and thirsty for your word, the heavenly manna. And, Father, we are so confident that you will feed us abundantly and let us grow. By hearing of your word, let our faith grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness your Son, Jesus Christ, more and more. And Father, pour out your blessings upon us that the word will be preached correctly and that your word will be understood by your people correctly, that we will all believe and obey. Oh Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In chapter 6 of the book of Mark, right before our passage that we just read, we see the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Through that event, it was shown that Jesus Christ, our Lord, is accomplishing the new exodus, the exodus from this world and sin. He saves his people from sin, from this world and from Satan, and leads them into the eternal kingdom of God. The same God who led the Old Testament Israelites, like the flock, came as the good shepherd, makes us lie down in green pastures, and leads us beside quiet waters. He restores our souls. He guides us in the paths of righteousness for his glory. He feeds us the heavenly manna and leads us to the eternal rest. He guides us to the springs of the water of life, and he wipes away tear from our eyes. And we read in verse 45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the crowd away. Why does Jesus make his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side in a hurry? Well, we see the same story in John chapter 6. There, right after the feeding of the 5,000, the people wanted to take Jesus by force to make him king. The people misunderstood the word of God and they were waiting for a political and earthly Messiah who would destroy the Roman Empire and bring in an earthly kingdom so that they can rule the whole world. And they thought that Jesus was the such Messiah. They wanted an earthly kingdom that is stronger than the kingdom of David in the Old Testament. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, yes, Jesus is the Messiah, but not the kind that they thought the Messiah would be or should be. The kingdom of God that Jesus is inaugurating is not an earthly kingdom. John chapter 18, verse 36a, Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Thus, he immediately made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, and he left there also. Verse 46, after bidding them farewell, he left for the mountain to pray. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he prays. The sweet heavenly fellowship with his Father. He's focusing everything on his Father. He completely entrusts himself to his Father and seeking the will of the Father. Just by thinking about that picture, Jesus praying, it just gives us so much joy and comfort. It is a true picture of a true Christian. It is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. But in our passage, we see another picture. Picture of his disciples. Verse 47 and 48. When it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. Disciples, they were in serious trouble in the middle of the sea, rowing very hard against the wind. The sea, as we have seen numerous times, the sea points to the world, among many other things, like the realm of Satan. But sea points to the world. So what is the picture? If the disciples are representing the church, and the sea is representing the world, and what is the picture? It is the picture of us, Christians, in the middle of the world, rowing hard against all kinds of trials and sufferings. It is the picture of the church in the world. As you know, his disciples, many of them, were fishermen. Then what do we see? Even with their expertise and knowledge and skills, they are not able to solve the problem that they are facing. And this is exactly how we are in this world. When it comes to pleasing God and doing His will, When it comes to living out the true Christian life in this world, we are helpless just with our own ability and strength. If it is just our strength and ability, this is what happens. This is how we are. We are rowing very hard in the sea of this world. And we do not know what else to do. So we continue toiling at rowing. Verse 52, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their hearts was hardened. Even though they experienced the feeding of 5,000, they did not learn anything. How about you? Did you learn anything from that story? You have to understand, God is with us. It's not just any person being with us. God is with us. Psalm 121, verse 1 through 8. Let me read that to you. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. Well, in our passage, we see two pictures. One, the disciples rowing very hard against the wind in the middle of the sea. And the other picture, Jesus Christ praying. And this is very important. Yes, it is true that we toil at rowing in our lives. But what we must remember as we row is that our risen Lord Jesus Christ, who is sitting at the right hand of God right now, is praying for us continuously. And not only he is praying for us, he is with us. He is with us now and forever. Verse 48. Seeing them straining at the oar, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them with them and said to them, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped. And they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. These verses remind us of God's coming to his people in the Old Testament. Jesus walks on the water. Job chapter 9. Let me read that to you. Job chapter 9, verse 8 through 11. Who alone stretches out the heavens and tramples down the waves of the sea? Who makes the bear, Orion, and the Pleiades, and the chambers of the south? Who does great things unfathomable and wondrous works without number? Hear he to pass by me, I would not see him. Were he to move past me, I would not perceive him. Where he to snatch away? Who could restrain him? Who could say to him, what are you doing? Passing by, this phrase is very, very important. Here, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ walks on the water. He is the God who created the whole universe and who controls all things. And in the verse 48 of our passage, it says he intended to pass by them. This phrase is very important because we see this phrase so many times in the Old Testament. We'll look at Exodus. Let's go to Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33, verse 17. The Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing of which you have spoken, for you have found favor in my sight, and I have known you by name. Then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. And he said, I myself will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show compassion on whom I will show compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man can see me and live. Then the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand there on the rock. And it will come about, while my glory is passing by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Passing by. Well, it points to the coming of the Lord, God coming to his people. One more passage, 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9. Then he came there to a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away. So he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord was passing by. And a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after fire, a sound of a gentle blowing. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Passing by, God is coming. Mark uses the language of the Old Testament to show us that God is coming to his disciples. God is coming to his people. Jesus passes by. And he comes to his disciples and said, what? Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. That phrase, it is I, ego eimi, in the Old Testament, it is translated as I am that I am, or I am who I am. God gave his name to Moses when he appeared to Moses at the burning bush. And that name was I am that I am. Do you see it? Jesus Christ is God. Isaiah 52 verse 6 says, therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore, in that day, I am the one who is speaking. Here I am. And Jesus says to his disciples, do not be afraid or do not fear. In the Old Testament, we see many times God speaking the same words to his people. To Abraham, God says, do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. So what do we see in our passage then? Well, God himself is coming and God is with the church. And that church is rowing very hard against all kinds of trials and sufferings in the sea of this sinful world. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. And this happens at about the fourth watch of the night. Fourth watch is between 3 and 6 in the morning, when nobody is up to care, God coming, and God is with his people. Yes, the disciples do not know fully who Jesus is, what he is doing and accomplishing at this time. They have to wait until Jesus' death and resurrection, because nothing makes any sense unless we see things in terms of our Lord's death and on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, are you rowing very hard in the middle of the sea of this world? Are you tired fighting against sin? Are you drained fighting against this world? Are you exhausted fighting against the temptations of Satan and this world? Remember that your Lord prays for you, and you must see your Lord Jesus Christ coming and being with you. Even as you row very hard against the world, you must see your Lord being with you. He got into the boat. He was with his disciples. That is your picture. That is your spiritual reality. Listen to what Jesus says to you through his word. Hebrews 13 verse 5b, for he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13:6, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Isaiah 41 verse 9 through 10. You whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from its remotest parts and said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And do you see that reality even as you come to the Lord's table today? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. As you participate in the Lord's Supper, see your Lord who is with you and be very, very happy. Come to God who is with you and prays for you even as you roll very hard in the sea of this world. Come to Him and have a sweet heavenly fellowship with Him. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, He loves you. He truly loves you. And as you come to the table, see how much He loves you. Look what He has done for you. Clearly demonstrates His love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Yes, many times we don't even know what we're doing. We're just rowing very hard against all kinds of trials and sufferings. We do our best to obey You, but temptations are so strong, and many times we fall. But Father, let us never forget that it is Jesus Christ our Lord who is praying for you, praying for us. And not only He is praying for us, that He is with us. And even as we fight against these big waves in this sinful world, let us always remember that Jesus is with us. And even as we come to Your table today, we are reminded of that fact. Even as we journey through this wilderness of this world, You prepare a table for us so that we may sit with You and drink and eat with You, to have the sweet fellowship with You. We thank You, God. We love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.